Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles and turn to. Can you hear that, or does it need to be a little higher? Can you hear that, Mrs. Grove? Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, and I'll start reading in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Terah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. The manna was a colander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that they should say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, Kill me, I pray thee, out of the hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray now that you take control of the service, that you bring forth your message now, that you take me out of the message, take away my nervousness, take away all thoughts of the world. Speak to your people now, God, and I thank you for this message in Jesus' name. As we read in the first 9 chapters here, we see Israel complaining about their circumstances. You look, and I imagine it started something like this. Maybe one of them in the group said, I'd like to have some fish and some cucumbers and some melons. And then in verse 4 it says, The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. That's how it started. It started with just one. And then a multitude of them, many of them. That's how complaining works. I see it at work. I see it everywhere. You can see it in churches. Complaining starts with one. And then it filters down. And as you look at that, it filtered down. And in verse 10, it says, And Moses heard the people. And the complaining filtered all the way down to the leader, Moses. And look at what it does to Moses. Moses begins in verse 11, and Moses said, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? He begins to appeal to God. He's discouraged. Look at verse 15. He's so discouraged, he says, Kill me, I pray thee, out of the hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. He's so discouraged that he says, kill me. Now, this is the man that parted the Red Sea before this, called down the plagues on Egypt. And he's discouraged so much that he says, kill me. I want to talk to you this morning about discouragement. I want to talk to you about the weights of this world. See, Satan wants to discourage us, every one of us. Amen. He wants to discourage me. He wants to discourage fathers and mothers and grandmothers. And when he does, we're worthless for God. We can't do anything. I've heard it preached that Satan's most used tool or best weapon against Christians is discouragement. I believe it. I get discouraged myself. Let's be real here this morning. We all get discouraged. Now, the world will tell you, if you get depressed, if you get down, well, you need a doctor, or you need some pills, or you need to do something nice for yourself. You need to take some time for yourself. You need to buy yourself something. That's not what my God says about depression. You know, the number one cause of us being depressed, discouraged, it's not even Satan. It's ourselves. It's selfishness. I mean, even look at these people. They were out in the middle of the desert. And God was raining bread down from heaven. And they said, you know, I'd like to have some fish instead. I want some melons. You know, that's me and you. That's me. You know, I don't want to get up for work today this early. You know, I have a good job. I have money. I have things. But my selfishness gets in the road. This morning, I want to be encouraging. Now, I'm going to call out some names here, but I don't want anybody to get offended. I want to encourage. Dan, you're a blessing to me. Your heart for God. Russell, you know, you always have something to say about the Lord. That's a blessing. Corby works so hard, provides for his family, does what he needs to do. Pam, the way she's handled the passing away of Dean. Van and Bunny, the way they've taken up the teens and Bunny's heart for God and the Christmas program. You know, I don't want anybody to be offended if I leave them out. Cam with helping with computers and other things. You know, we need to encourage each other. We don't need to be discouragers. We need more people to say, well done. Encourage. You know, Gary, you do a fine job with the Bible study in the morning. I appreciate that. I thank you for that. I want to encourage people this morning. I want them to come out of here ready and empowered to serve God. This morning, I want to give you 3 steps to be empowered, to be encouraged and ready to serve God. Turn with me to Psalm 31, please. Psalm 31. And we're going to start reading there in verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of man thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion, from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Let's just look at that verse a little bit. It says in the beginning, in verse 19, we are in Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Oh, how great is thy goodness to who? Look later on in the verse. For them that fear thee. And further down in the end of the verse, for them that trust thee before the sons of man. God's goodness is there for the saved, for us who have believed in Jesus Christ, for those who have chose to believe in creation rather than evolution, that we have a God that we serve. That's what God's goodness is for. And then let's look a little further into verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Step number one to be encouraged. Go to His presence. Have you been to His presence this morning? Have you been to His presence this week? That's where it's at. That's where joy is. I think of the song, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood?" You know, we born-again believers, we think that's for the unbeliever to be washed in the blood. No, have you been washed in the blood this week? Were you washed in the blood this morning? Did you go to Him? Did you get that power from His presence? That's where it's at. You know, say, "I'm discouraged. I can't take the troubles of this world." Did you go to Him? That's what I need. I need it every day. It's almost like, you know, they have these addicts out here and they need to shoot up to get that high. You know, I need that. I need that with my God. Every morning, every day. If I don't, I get discouraged. I get drugged down. We need to go to His presence. You know, like I said before, most of us profess to be saved. But are we using the blessings that come with that salvation? As we talked this morning, Gary was saying about the Holy of Holies. Do you know this morning we can go to the Holy of Holies right now? Amen. We have that blessing. We have that right because we're washed in the blood. Let's look at, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named there Martha received into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away." You know, sometimes I'm a lot like Mary, running around trying to accomplish what I'm going to do. I'm going to solve my problems. I'm going to undiscourage myself. I'm going to take care of this. You know, is it Martha? Yeah, Martha. No, Mary was at His feet. Martha, you're saying. Mary was at His feet. That's where we need to go. That's what I'm talking about. We got to get in His presence. We got to go right to His feet, and we have that right. Sometimes when I get home from work, I drive up the driveway. I get halfway up the driveway, and our dog's up there. Her name's Polly, and she starts running around real fast, all excited. As I drive up the driveway, as I open the door, she runs over. Her tail's shaking. She's so excited, I reach down and touch her. She can't wait to see her master when he gets home. As I get out of the car, I go inside, I go up the steps. I go through the gate, Hank's over on the floor. He looks up, sees his dad, and his face lights up, and he comes over as fast as he can to see his father. You see, that dog and that young child, What brings joy to their heart? What brings joy to their life? Their master. Their father. That's where it's at. That's where we're going to get it. We're going to get it from Him. We're going to get it when we go to Him.
Amen.
That's step number one. Go to His presence. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to start there in verse number 53. Mark chapter 6, verse number 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in the beds those that were sick, where they heard He was. And whithersoever He entered into the villages or the cities or country, they laid the sick in streets and besought Him that they might touch, if it were but the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made whole. Let's look at these verses a little closer. Start here in verse number 54. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew Him. They knew of His healing power. They knew that what He had done in these other cities. And what did they do? Verse number 55. And they ran. And they ran where? At the end of the verse, where they heard He was. Just like that dog, just like that little child. They ran where He was. That's where joy is. And what did He get? Verse 56. And as many as touched Him were made whole. You know, we claim we're born again and we're made whole. But we need to run to Him every day. Just like that. Come to His presence. That's where it's at. That's step number one. Go to His presence. Okay, now, I've went to His presence. Now what? Step number two. I need to pour my heart out to Him.
Amen.
Psalm 86. Go with me to Psalm 86. I'm going to read the first seven verses here of Psalm 86. Bow down thy ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save my servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O God, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon Thee. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Let's look at these verses a little closer here. Verse number 1. Bow down thy ear. Now this is David. This is I wanted to show you here in this psalm an example of somebody pouring their heart out to God. Because you know, we don't really do that.
Amen.
We don't really pour our heart out to God. Like, you know, I know we have prayer meetings and we say we pray, but we're not pouring our heart out to God. Let's be honest. I don't do it. Not very often. But here is an example, a Bible example of a man after God's own heart.
pouring his heart out to God. Let's just look at it. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. He says, hear me, Lord. Lord, I need you. And later on he says, I am poor and needy. Help, Lord, help me. Verse number 2, preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Are you trusting him? Hey, if you're discouraged, maybe you're not. Verse number 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Comes to his presence daily. A man after God's own heart. That's going to be encouraging. Verse number 3, 4, and 5. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For the Lord art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy. David cries out to a loving, merciful God. You know, often we think that we need a friend or we need someone to talk to. Well, he's always there. And nobody cares like my God. Nobody does. Amen. A loving, merciful God. And when does the mercy come? Look at verse 5. And plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon him. It comes when we go to his presence and we call upon him, when we pour our heart out to him. Let's look at verse 7. In the day of the trouble, I call upon thee. Why? Why do we go to him in the day of the trouble? At the end of the verse. For thou wilt answer me. Have you ever tried to call somebody on the phone and you can't get a hold of them? Or maybe it's even like at my house. Sometimes I'm yelling, Chloe, Chloe, no answer. That's not our God. He's never closed. He's never sleepy. He's always there. So do I have an excuse to not go to his presence this morning? Do I have an excuse to not call on him? Hey, he was busy. No. No, my God wasn't busy. And he won't be too busy for you.
Amen.
You know, the world will tell you if you're depressed, you need a doctor. You need a counselor. Praise God, I have a wonderful counselor. I have an almighty God. I have a God that created the universe. That's who we need to go to. That's who we need to pour our heart out to. So number one, I need to go to his presence. Number two, I need to pour my heart out to him. And like I said before, I'm not talking about, Lord, please keep me safe today. Thank you for my family. No. No, he wants to reel you. He wants your fears, your concerns, your worries, your doubts. And he deserves it. He's worthy. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's easy to be fake. I'm talking about giving God your whole heart this morning. Again, I'm going to go over these three verses because I need it repeated myself. Number one, I need to go to his presence. Number two, I need to pour my heart out to him. And the third thing, I need to praise him. What's praise? I looked it up in the dictionary. To bestow honor and admiration. Thanksgiving to God. To rejoice proudly. To worship. Let's just back up there. It says, to rejoice proudly. When's the last time you went to work or anywhere and said, you know what God's doing for me? Rejoicing proudly. You know what God did in my devotions this morning? And maybe you are doing that, but you won't be discouraged if you are. Let's turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, I'll read the five verses there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made me, and not we ourselves. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's just look at this. We're talking about praise here this morning. In verse number 1, it says, make a joyful noise. In Psalm 95:1, it says, sing unto the Lord. In Psalm 66:4, it says, sing forth the honor of his name. In Psalm 92:1, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks and sing praises unto his name. What's praising? Well, number one, we can sing. I'm not talking about just at church. How about a song in your heart? A song in your head through the day? You know, how can you be depressed if you're singing, the old account was settled long ago? Or, oh, how I love Jesus, or amazing grace through the day. And if that's what your heart and your head's dwelling on, you're not going to be discouraged. Let's look a little further here at Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And then verse number 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. There's the singing again. That's for me, because I don't hear it the first time. But let's look at the first part of that verse. Serve the Lord with gladness. Maybe that's truth trackers. Maybe that's nursery. Maybe that's cleaning the church. Maybe that's your everyday thing at work. Maybe that's handing a tract out. Maybe that's going to a neighbor and giving them a meal when they're in need. With gladness. That's praising God. Let's look a little further in verse number. Now let's just finish that verse. Now we'll go to verse number 3. Know ye the Lord, he is God. Let's just stop there. Know ye the Lord, he is God. You say, yeah, I know he's God. No, I don't know. I forget. I forget that my Father owns everything, that he owns every sheep on every pasture, he owns every king in every castle, he owns the stars of the sky, he owns my heartbeat, he owns that next breath I'm going to take. You say, who am I? I'm a child of the King, the King. Not a king. The king of this world. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. I'm nothing special. It's him. And not we ourselves, for we are his people and sheep of his pasture. We're just stupid sheep down here. We need him every day. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The Lord wants me to be thankful. As a parent, many times I do things for the kids and for the family and sacrifices. And it seems like, oh, kids don't notice. That, you know, nobody's noticing what I'm doing. And I get upset. And I got to thinking, is that how I am with my Heavenly Father? I got a house, I got cars. I got food, I got clothing, I got heat. But Lord, if I just had this, if I just had this one other thing, I'd be happy then. No, you wouldn't. Just like the kids. They say, well, if I had this, I'd be happier. Then they get that and it's something else. Lord wants us to be thankful.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Verse number 5, the Lord is good. See, my God is always good. He's worthy. He's worthy of that praise. And it says, his mercy is everlasting. When do I get what I deserve? I won't. My God's mercy is everlasting. I'll never get what I deserve, or I'd go to hell right now. You see, that's why we should praise him and serve him with gladness. 3 things to overcome discouragement, depression. Number 1, go to his presence. Number 2, pour your heart out to him. Number 3, praise him. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to finish up here. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain and soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jew, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. They lied. Verse number 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. They ripped their clothes off, and the commander and commanded to beat them. And they beat them. And they laid many stripes upon them, and they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began complaining. No, that's not what it says. It says, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the other prisoners heard them. And look, this gets me excited. Look at the ending of this then. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are here. Then he called for a light and sprang it, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, we serve that same God today. We serve that same God that when troubles come, if we praise him, you know, this jailer, these other people, they wouldn't have got saved if they'd have started complaining. You know, I didn't lie. They threw me in this prison. That's us most of the time. That's me. So I want you to remember this morning, that's all I got. I got these 3 things. I want to repeat them one more time. If we're going to overcome discouragement and depression, number 1, we're going to go to his presence. Number 2, we're going to pour our heart out to him. And number 3, we're going to praise him. That's what I got this morning. Thank you. Amen.